Powered by Riverside.
Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is volume 2025, episode number 13. Our air date is Thursday, March 27th, 2025. I am your host, C. Willie, joined again this week by the incomparable.
Butter Peep.
That is her. She has still not locked me out of the house, so I'm feeling pretty good about life right now. We have a special guest tonight that we are so excited to have on the show. Blues Dad is joining us. Welcome, sir.
Hello, hello.
You know, one of the things, as we do our research in our shows and we start looking at what you've got out there, this is one of the lines that I absolutely love. Chicago has the Blues Brothers. The rest of the world has Blues Dad. And tonight we've got him too, and we are fired up about that. Now, the other thing that we do, we'll get Quarter Peep and I will get done with the show, and we're all excited about how things have gone. And we'll say, hey, you know what? That was a really fun show. We know going into this, this is going to be a really fun show. Tell us a little bit about what you would say your genre is in music.
Well, when I introduce myself, whenever I play somewhere, I always say something like, hello, my name is Blues Dad. And I'm just a dad who likes the blues. And well, so people get used to that. I have a kind of a different style. I view myself as being different from everybody a little bit. I grew up in a pretty much all white country town, Durand, Michigan, and then taught in Detroit for 25 years. And I was an elementary teacher there. And one of the things about being a teacher, man, if you got 25 second graders, you're trying to catch their attention. You're trying to, I'm saying it's not easy.
No,
because they would rather, you know, talk to their friends and listen to you. But one of the things we do all the time is we read books to them, get them excited about reading. And in the process of that, you got to be animated. You got to be dramatic. And so that's kind of like just my personality. So I really kind of view myself as like I would say an Americana, but really kind of a roots driven genre. So like, for instance, I don't always sing. Sometimes I talk the lyrics out. Sometimes I'm hollering more than I am singing, and so it makes for like a little different style. I see a lot of people that are super talented, know, and I've heard some people on here on your show that were on American Idol. I don't have that American Idol voice. And so I just do things differently. If I had an American Idol voice, I would probably be doing Marvin Gaye covers and a lot of the country music or whatever that's out there. But I'm not able to do that. So I just do it a different way. And so I will say one more thing, C. Willie. I'm really striving to be a complete Americana artist. I think a lot of people latch on to that Americana term, but they leave a lot of genres out of that. Americana encompasses folk music, country music, blues music, gospel music, and bluegrass. I'm trying to get all those. And so that's kind of who I am.
Well, and I think from what we've heard and what we're going to be showing or playing on the show tonight, you're also a storyteller.
And I was about to say that's one thing I love.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things I love. The three songs that we've got queued up tonight and that we're going to be listening to each have a message, each draw you in, and they're fun. And I could listen to that. We were talking about this as we were kind of getting ready for everything. And you know what? It feels like we're out on the back porch and we've got a group of friends that are there and they're playing. And it's wonderful music, and we're having a good time. And that's absolutely, when I think of what you play, it's having a good time.
Sure, sure. I love that. And all my songs are about people. Like, I'm just not the person to write a song about seasons or like every single song is some kind of personal connection I had with a person And so, like, all my songs that, I write are just all about people. And so it kind of makes them special. So, like, the three songs that we're playing today, they're all connected in some way to a story and a background story. So this first one, Maya the Hot Tub, is about my cousin. She has a friend that they get together all year round in their hot tub outside in the winter.
Every Pete has that same friend.
Every Wednesday night. And so, you know, we were talking about hot tubs and, you know, my friends were talking about how they winterize them. She's like, I don't winterize mine. I keep it on all year round outside. And my friend Mike comes over every Wednesday. And I was like, well, first of all, friendship goals.
Yes.
Yes. We'll come over and spend time with you on a weekday, on a work night. That's a special kind of friend. So I just declared out loud. I was like, from now on, I've never met this person in my life. I just knew her name was Maya. From now on, I'm going to call this woman Maya the Hot Tub.
There you go.
That's what my cousin was like, you mean like Jabba the Hutt? And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was crazy, right? So I wanted to write a song about nicknames. And when I sat down, I was thinking of Paul Simon, like his song, like Get Off the Bus, Gus.
Yep,
you
yep.
know, you got a plan, Stan. That's what I was going for. And I had just finished watching whatever the latest Elvis movie was. And something in that movie, told me, hey, it's okay to repeat the same word over and over, because I usually don't do that. And so that's why you hear Maya the Hot Tub, Maya, 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 Maya the Hot Tub. I think that was the Elvis thing, you know, so
there you go.
And then the other people in the, there's other people in the story. They're all real people with, you know, my college roommate last name was Kozik. We started to call him Crocus because there's a rock band from the '80s named Crocus.
And I remember that well.
People after their last name. But then the thing is, like, 2 weeks later, he grew this big beard and then we started calling him Crocus Moses. And then my friend Robbie is an older gentleman. He's kind of like a modern day version of Forrest Gump. In fact, that's what some people used to call him. He's just like a super talented person that has a lot of skills and has always been, like he'll tell you, he's always been like in special ed, working in the cafeteria somewhere. And he's you know, he's just a really cool person, you know.
And that's Robbie Ranch.
That's Robbie Ranch, my guy. All right. Robbie. You know, like, we're getting nachos. I got all the salsa out. Like, I have this men's group that I lead. And he's like, man, I need some ranch dressing. I'm like, who puts ranch dressing on, like, nachos? I mean, like, so I gave him that nickname. But, you know, there's something special about nicknames. And it's just, like, the friendship, the camaraderie of it all. And it makes you feel like you belong. And I got to tell you, like, this happened to me. Maybe it's happened to you, too. Just randomly out of the blue, I started singing that song by Tanya Tucker, Delta Dawn. Delta Dawn. And I was like, I didn't hear it on the radio. It's just like something from 40 years ago. And this song, I had my drummer, Jason LaSalle, put drum tracks down on the three songs on this EP. And he said to me, he texted me, he's like, I don't know what in the world is going on, but, like, I can't get Maya the Hot Tub out of my head. And I so I call this my Delta Dawn song. Like,
there you go.
No, that's big dreams right there. But
there you go.
I think it's one that it's got a positive message. It mentions Jabba the Hutt, me and Bob Dylan, pop culture, you know, icons. And I think it's one that is, like, if you look at this song, there's no way you cannot say that Blue's Dead is a little bit out there. Like, nobody writes songs about, I have, you know, a friend named after salad dressing. It's a little bit out there. That element of it makes me feel like it's Cat Stevens a little bit. You know, Cat Stevens meets Bob Dylan is how I say it, you know, so.
Well, let's give this one a listen. We've got it queued up. Maya the Hot Tub. You know the backstory now. So right. Enjoy this one.
1, 2, 1, 2, and ready, go. I know a woman named after a pool. Her name is Maya. Maya, Maya, Maya the Hot Tub.
You mean like Jabba the Hutt? Yeah, but real cute. And I know a man named after an 80s rock band. His name is Crocus.
Crocus. Crocus.
Crocus Moses. If I was Bob Dylan, I'd sing you a song about all my friends and everyone. We'd hit the road, Jack, on a big old tour bus and roll into your town. Let you join us with Maya.
Maya.
Maya. Maya the hot tub. With special guest Crocus Moses. And I know a man named after a salad dressing. His name is Robbie.
Robbie.
Robbie. Robbie Ranch. Who do you know that puts ranch dressing on their nachos? That's Robbie.
Robbie.
Robbie. Robbie Ranch. If I was Bob Dylan, I'd sing you a song about all my friends and everyone. We'd hit the road, Jack, on a big old tour bus and roll into your town and let you join us with Maya.
Maya.
Maya. Maya the hot tub. With special guest Crocus Moses. And our lead chef, Robbie Ranch. These are the best friends you could ever have. Take it from me, Blues Dad. We laugh and we joke, and we sing the blues. And maybe one day, you can join us too.
That is definitely a party I want to join.
Just so you know, you are our American Idol.
Oh, there you go.
You know, it's an interesting and eclectic mix that you have, and you say you write about your friends and you write about the people that you know. What is your writing process? Because the next two songs that we're going to hear are just as diverse as Maya the Hot Tub. Tell us a little bit about what inspires you. How do you write? How do you put this together?
You know, a lot of times when you're going to give a speech, before you actually sit down to write a speech, or maybe you're going to write a paper, you just, like for me, I just think about what I want to say, like what's into it. So it doesn't all happen the same way. I wrote a really cool song called I Can See the Moon, and it was a cool groove that I was just playing, and for about 15 seconds. And usually when that happens, I run for my phone to try to record it before I forget it.
Yeah.
And and so in that process, I really came up with this little groove, and then I just started singing improv. And what came out, like I didn't decide, hey, I want to write a song about I Can See the Moon. What came out was I Can See the Moon, the Stars So Bright. And then after the fact, I realized there's a story that went with the song about one of my college roommates. So, and then other times, like I was recently on another podcast out of Oregon called Welcome to the Woodshed with Travis John.
You bet.
I listened to a few of his podcasts, and he was kind of insinuated that he smokes marijuana with his wife a few times. And this the idea just popped into my head. I don't smoke marijuana, but I hang out with people that do. And I stupid wrote that song. It's a really good one. You know, so sometimes it just happens. Like, it's one of my favorite songs. It's one of my newer songs. So A lot of times for me, though, I will say that it is just improv, play, start saying whatever comes to your mind, and then it takes you to, and then you kind of adjust and steer it towards something. There was like, I have a song called Banjo Slim, which is like my big bluegrass song. And then that one, I kind of had a cool solo thing and then knew I wanted to use it sometime. So it all, each song is a little bit different. Sometimes it just happens. And other times, I got a song called That's My Stupid Friend. And I had met with my a friend from high school, and it's a really good one. And it's one of my newer songs, too. And I just started singing it in the parking lot on my way back to my Jeep. And I had to record that. And when I got home, I took it and put it to music. And so different ways, but that kind of gives you an idea.
It's interesting that it sounds to me like when that inspiration gets to you, you have no problem putting it down on paper and translating it into the song that you want.
A lot of times, well, I have sleep apnea, so I'll be up at 2 a.m.
So you're up on it.
You know, writing this out. But when I wake up in the morning is when, like, I feel like if I can write a chorus, I can always get a verse. So, like, I think the chorus is, and one of the things I learned is that I try not to let it be forced. Like, if I never write another song for the rest of my life, I'm okay with that. I got like 30 songs that I love, and it's going to take me a while to get them out that I wrote that I'm playing everywhere right now. And but you know, it keeps happening to me. Things just come about that I'm like, that's deserving of a song. I have a song that I wrote for my wife. You might appreciate this, C. Willie. It's called "I Love You, Woman, But Man, You Give Me the Blues." So you can find that. You can find that one at bluesdadmusic.com or at YouTube. So I have different music, different places. I'm really trying to start with my music on Spotify, where a lot of people make money. That I have songs that are more like full band and things like that, and have drums.
But you're going to get me in trouble if you keep doing that. But it sounds like, and I've got to give a little credit to Quarter Peep, because it sounds like the two of you in putting things together are much the same. You're driven. When it starts, you're going to finish it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I'm getting better at, I just wrote like one of the, man, I can't even believe I wrote this song that I just love so much. It's called Coffee for Two. And it's a song about songs. And so I wrote this song about Jackie Daniels. I know you have her on.
We love Jackie. Yeah,
so,
you bet.
So there's three songs that are just like one of my three most meaningful favorite songs in my life. If you have to be on a deserted island or whatever, and you can only pick three meaningful songs. One is Steps by Lee Kitzman, Growing Pain by Jackie Daniels, and Coffee for Two by Doug Larson. And I was inspired by these three songs and thinking just like, man, how deep they are and like how much not only are they good songs, but they have so much meaning in it. And so I wrote this song, and it's like in the song, I put Jackie's name in it, Doug Larson's name in it, Lee Kitson's name in it. At the end of the song, I'm like, roll the credits, and I repeat their names again. And so I kind of talk out the verse, similar, kind of inspired by Van Morrison, which did that on a few songs where
you
say the chorus and then you talk it out, and it's kind of like jazzy period, some of the songs that he's done. But I think it was on Hymns to the Silence. There's a song on there somewhere, Closer Walk with Thee or something, and he talks the lyrics out about his life or whatever. And anyways, the song turned out really good. Coffee for Two, it's about a man who, you know, basically lost his wife of many, many years, but he still made coffee for two.
Yeah.
Touching.
Yeah.
And you add all these three songs that have so much meaning. And I'm just delighted that, A, I love this song. And, you know you got a good song. So I guess why I brought this up is you start to trust your instincts.
Sure.
You know, you start to realize I wrote the song first with a chorus that was more about Lee Kissman's song Steps. And I was unsure of it, didn't feel good about it. But then I woke up the next day, rewrote the whole song with a new chorus, kept the verses, did it a different way. And now I was able to get something. So I used to like text people my songs and say, what do you think? I don't do that now. If you have to text your song to someone and ask them what they think, then it's horrible.
Well, like, and you've got to be comfortable with what you're doing.
You got a good song, you'll ruin your voice trying to sing it over and over because you can't get enough of it. And so if you don't have, so I'm trying to learn to trust myself better.
Yeah, you've got to do what you do. So this next one we've got, and I'm not sure, did you want to do Your Chili? As number two? Tell us about this and give me the title because I've messed it up every time.
So the title's another long one. It's kind of a take on I Love You Woman, But Man, You Give Me the Blues. It's kind of like my favorite line in that song is I love you woman, the chorus, but man, you give me the blues. And then I'm like, and I love them blues. It's kind of like saying, hey, you know what, men and women, we get on each other's nerves, but man, there's no other way I'd rather have it. Even though you give me them blues, I love them blues. And so this is kind of like a love-hate relationship thing a little bit, like, you know, realizing that, hey, we get on each other's nerves, you know, and there's you love me, you hate me is one of the lines in the song. But so it's kind of a fun song. I never told anyone this before, but there was my grandmother and one time my grandmother was mad at my grandfather, according to my mom. And so she put a lot of salt in his soup. And he's so stubborn, he ate every drop. So, I mean, we could get on each other's nerves. So, but, you know, my wife is from India and she does have a lot of spices. And sometimes she makes that chili. And I'm like, man, woman, you trying to kill me? And then she'll say something about how she can't wait to cash in on that life insurance policy. And, you know, so this is kind of like where the song comes from, you know?
I love it.
But the name, the title is Your Chili Done Killed Me, But Your Greens Have Raised Me From the Dead.
Yes, 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 they did.
All right. So I got to say that, you know, I play for a homeless shelter in Toledo once a year. And then three times a year, I play at a warming station in Detroit. And the first time I played this song was like the beginning of, like, you know, of me getting out and being Blues Dad and playing. And usually our church has a thing. We go there and feed the guys on our allotted day three times out of the year. And so the preacher couldn't make it, whatever, to preach a sermon. Say, hey, you want to play some blues for like 25, 30 minutes? I was like, oh, yes, I do. I showed up there, played my whole set. You know, I wasn't feeling it from the guys. You know, they're trying to, you know, they're struggling. They're trying to let their socks dry out. They're wet from walking around in the snow. But when I came, I sang this song, the last song, and it's like the whole group just came to life. And that's when I knew I had something. The chorus is Hallelujah, I'm Alive Today. Yeah. And I just got a text 2 days ago from a cancer survivor. You know, it's like, if your song can touch someone like that, it's a great thing. It really is.
That's what we love about music. That's what we love about what we're doing right here. We're having a good time. We're listening to good music, and it touches people and it makes people feel. You're changing emotions. You're changing the way somebody is approaching their life.
And I was going to add one more thing. One thing I just love about the blues, and once you listen to my music, you realize that almost not every time, but most of the time, there's an element of humor. And one thing about the blues is that it's not just blues. It's folk. It's country. Man, when you get that element of humor, it takes your mind off your current situation.
Yes, it does.
It lets you smile for a minute and forget about what you're thinking about and having anxiety about. And so that's a wonderful thing.
It is.
You know, so I do gravitate towards finding songs that I think can be have a little bit of humor in it.
Well, and this one does, and this one makes you feel good. And thank God for the collard greens.
There you go.
Just gonna listen from Blues Dad.
Your chili don't kill me, but your greens have raised me from the dead. Your red hot chili don't kill me, but your greens have raised me from the dead. The doctor called the time of death and pulled the sheet right over my head. And that's when I heard my mama say, those hot peppers finally got their way. But I was alive because deep inside were two big helpings of green. You wish I was alive, because deep inside were two big helping love dreams. They pumped my blood and gave me life again, and my heart was ready to sing. Your red hot chili done killed me, woman, but your rings brought me back to life again. And my heart was singing, hallelujah, I'm alive today. Hallelujah, I'm alive today. God gave us the moon and sun and his love and mercy, and I'm alive today because God gave us collard greens. You tried to get me with that chili, you did. But then again, you did make those greens. You tried to get me with that chili, you did. Then again, you made those greens. You love me, you hate me. You can't live without me, if you know what I mean. And I just thank my lucky charms, talking about that cereal, that God gave us collard greens. And my heart is singing, hallelujah, I'm alive today. Hallelujah, I'm alive today. God gave us the moon and sun and his love and mercy, and I'm alive today because God gave us collard greens. I'm alive today because God gave us collard greens. Yes, he did.
Yes, sir. Gotta love those collard greens. Blues Dad, you've been busy. We mentioned at the top of the show, 104 shows in 2024. You've got, and you're not letting up. You've got it going on everywhere. You mentioned being an elementary school teacher. This is your retirement now?
It is. It actually is. I was a teacher in Detroit for 25 years, and I had a job for 2 years after that in, like, plastic injection mold, selling parts for manifolds, you know. But, you know, COVID happened. I got let go because of that. And then, you know, my wife kind of got a promotion about the same time. I was like, it's going to be tight, you know.
But, yeah.
You know, she has more responsibility. So I try to help out around the house, make things life easier for her, you know, and make sure the kitchen's clean, ready to go. And, you know, I'm a talker. My wife likes to have a little peace and quiet. And so, after a long day, I've been sitting at home. She got a husband that's a talker, you know. So, like, if I'm leaving, she's like, is it okay if I, you know, drive an hour and 15 minutes up north to, like, play at the Mountain Inn in Mount Moore? She's like, knock yourself out. You know, knock yourself out. But, and she's one of my biggest supporters. I would say that. She comes to the shows that are nearby. And I did put out an album for her called Songs for My Wife, and 12 songs. You can find it at bluesdadmusic.com to be downloaded. And I'm probably going to re-release a few of those songs, add drums to them, but it's just basic acoustic mm-hmm. harmonica. I got a piano song in there, some fun stuff in there. So bluesdadmusic.com, you can find them all there.
Well, and that's the other thing we want to find out. Where do people find you? They're going to hear this tonight. They're going to want to get your music. Where are the best places to find you?
Like, I'm on Spotify. The three songs that I'm everywhere. If you Google Blues Dad, a whole bunch of stuff is going to pop up, because I post a lot of videos on TikTok and 306 BRL. That stands for Blues Record Label, 306 or Buell. Anyways, 306 BRL is on TikTok. Everything else just at Blues Dad on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook. But one of the things that's really cool that I would love people to do is sign up for my newsletter, which comes out every Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. And it's on a platform called Substack. So mm-hmm. my my, you can find me at bluesdad.substack.com. And everything we're talking about today, I do once a week. And I thought, hey, I'm going to run out of things to talk about. I'm not. There's always something to talk about. Backline stories of my songs, people that I meet on the road. And, you know, I did perform 105 places in 2024. And, you know, I was in three festivals. I was like three or four songwriters in the round events, which are the ones that I love the most. Played at a homeless shelter, played at warming stations, played in churches, played in coffee shops, played in bars and taverns. And a lot of those were open mics. And yeah. The great thing about open mics, I mean, some of them you play 10 minutes. Sometimes you play 20-minute set. I mean, you know, you can fit six, seven songs in a 20-minute set. And
sure.
So for me, it really helped me figure out, learn about, you know, performing these songs is, I mean, learning how to get better. You know, like one of the things I did as a teacher is I was always trying to, you know, evaluate myself and say, you know, if someone's not learning, I'm not blaming the kid. I'm not blaming the parents. I'm blaming me.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
I may not be fully responsible for all of that, but I blame me. And I'm always looking at myself saying, well, why isn't that working? You know, so like if I release a song and it doesn't get a lot of streams and it doesn't go anywhere, I'm like, what did I do wrong? I need to get better as a musician. I need to get better at marketing. And so I'm always evaluating myself. And when you play 105 times, you learn a lot about yourself.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, like you make mistakes, you get over it, you keep getting up, you know. And my goal was to do 120, so I could say that I played one place every 3 days. But 105 was good. And I'll do less this year. But it is awesome. I feel like when you play that many places, you have like places that you play. Like I played at the Mountain Inn probably like 8 times that year. And at all these little communities, and like I live in the city in the Metro Detroit area, but I grew up in the small town of Durand, Michigan.
Yeah,
a little small town, and I love these little small towns. They have these little communities of music, so they don't have a big theater, they don't have all this entertainment, right? But they do have like an open mic where people get out their banjos and they're, you know, it's just
no question. So
I feel when you go to that many places, you feel like you're on a bowling league, a different league, like you got a different league you go to, you know, and you meet these people and you make friends. And I think it's one of the great things about the music is it's too hard to just look at the numbers all the time and just realize, wow, you know, because of this music, I've made a lot of good friends and met a lot of really good people.
You've touched a lot of people. You've changed emotions. And that's, you know, we've talked to a number of artists on here that reflect on that, and boy, if I can do that with my music, I'm accomplishing what I'm setting out to do, and you're doing that.
And there's something inside me that is like, I have something to say. Like, I'm just that person. Like, I have an opinion, I have something to say, and through music, I'm trying to say it, you know?
This last one that we have queued up, I Love an Evening. You know, I listened to this a couple of times, and I thought, this is talking about how my summer. You know, this is my summer. Tell me a little bit about this this one.
Man, you know, I have some family that go to this Buttermilk Jamboree Music Festival. Is a music festival in Delton, Michigan, which is kind of just a little bit north of Kalamazoo on the west side of the state. I have family that go to that every year. And so as a teacher, I was always worrying about ending the school year out and thinking about school and grades. That at the time of, because it's held every year, like this year, June 13th through 15th, but every year on Father's Day, I would be too busy thinking about ending the school year out to like go to this. But finally, as a retired teacher, I'm like, there's nothing holding me back. So I went, and the first day, the first year that I went, I met two people that made me think, yeah, I'm going to come to this every year for the rest of my life. One was a guy named Benjamin. Just a really cool guy that plays guitar and just sings everywhere. And I love that guy. And then another guy named Ruckus Rickus. I just started out as being kind of Blues Dad. The album hadn't come out yet. So like when people ask me what my name was, my real name is John Cook. But I would say, instead of saying my name is John, I would say, hey, I'm Blues Dad. And this guy was like, I'm Ruckus Rickus.
That's awesome.
This guy is a character, you know? And I think there's like different levels of being a hippie. I always tell people Ruckus Rickus has achieved the highest level because like if you meet him, you cannot like at the highest level of being a hippie, you're always going to get a hug. You know, that's who Ruckus Rickus is. And so I just love that guy. But I was actually in a tent that I don't even own a tent, but my aunt, God bless her, let me use one of hers. And it was under this apple tree. And right next to me under the apple tree was my cousin's friend and Nikki.
I was looking at
Nikki's kind of tall. She's like a tall person, right? And I think she's tall. But she had like the smallest little tent. And like every time I turned around, like she would get her hair cut in the tent trying to get in and out.
Oh.
So you know how I try to write songs that have an element of humor, and I just couldn't stop thinking about that. I was like, this is too funny. You know, she's got
the hair on the zipper.
Yes, the hair on the zipper.
You know, I maybe teased her about a little bit, maybe not too much, but you know, I just when I got back, you know, because I would love to write a song about Buttermilk Jamboree, but nothing presented it. I mean, I love this. I love the festival, and it's great. But you can't be forced with this thing. You know, things have to come to you. And when this happened, I was like, yeah, that belongs in a song. And
now,
are
you playing in Buttermilk Jamboree this year?
I am.
You are. All right. Yeah. Fantastic.
I'll be playing on Friday night and also on Saturday. Yep.
Okay. Terrific. We looked up, we saw the lineup, we're looking through everything in there, and that sounds like it's a lot of, and Dalton is a beautiful area.
Beautiful, yes. And, you know, so I have high hopes for the song because I always tell people, I'm trying to be Mariah Carey. You know, every Christmas she gets a lot of hits. People remember her because of her Christmas song that went big. And so I'm trying to be that guy that every, you know, it's 2,000 people that go to this festival. It's a very popular festival. And, you know, I'm hoping that every year at festival time, I mention Father's Day in the song too. Every year at Father's Day, people will remember my song and come back to it. And over time, it'll grow. It came out January 3rd, and already I have like 9,000 streams, which is good for me in a short amount of time. But I think you'll see it grow.
Let's get some more for it.
This is right.
I watch an evening from Blues Dad, and think about that festival for you.
I love an evening of laughter and meaning, where the stars lead us back home. To a campground on a country road, yeah.
There were big tents and small ones, and an RV named Large Marge. And I met a guy named Redbird, and a couple from Chicago. She laughed at all the right parts of my song, and we both smiled as a young boy danced along. So I set out to find Ruckus, you know, Ruckus Rickus. Come on, Ruckus, where you at? I'm looking for a cat with overalls and a bandana. You know the one who plays that clarinet. And then there's Rosie, she real cozy. She got the kids in bed, sitting outside the tent with a childhood friend. Roll them up, Rosie. So I look up in the sky. I can see the Big Dipper. Then I hear someone cry. Nikki got her hair stuck in a zipper. Her tent's so small, she can barely get in. She got her hair up in a bun, and it got stuck again.
I love the kneeling of laughter and meaning, where the stars lead us back home.
To a campground on a
country road.
Yeah.
On Father's Day, I saw a man playing chess with his son. And I got to play in the beer tent with Adam Gottlieb. He was Seeger, and I was Broomzy. And after the show, I gave my CD to Cliff the sound guy. And I said, hey man, here's something to remember me by. And Cliff said, trust me, we all gonna remember you.
Yeah.
Is that good? Or should I be singing the blues?
I love. I said I love.
And I can't wait to get back to mine. But I hope next year about this time, I'll be camping under the same old apple tree, at the one place I long to be, the buttermilk jamboree.
I love. I love an evening of laughter and meaning, where the stars lead us back home
to a campground on a country road. Yeah.
That's so cute, so well thought out, and I think that that's Dalton's theme song. That's all there's to it.
Yeah, so these all three of these songs fit on the name of the EP is Songs for the Road, and you can see that song's talking about a country road. It's about all about camping, and then you got Maya the Hot Tubs, you know, being on a tour bus, and then Your Chili Done Killed Me, But Your Greens Have Raised Me from the Dead just has so much energy. Like, each song is, like, style-wise completely different.
They really are.
This song is real chill. It's a 5-minute, 24-second song. And I was shocked that it did as well as it did, like, because I was, like, in order for it to, like, get picked up by the – it got picked up by the algorithm a little bit, actually a lot, to get to 9,000. And in order to do that, people got to be listening to the whole song.
Yeah.
It's five minutes and 24 seconds.
Yeah.
It's usually the shorter songs that do well like that. So I have high hopes for Maya the Hot Tub, but this three-song EP all comes out. You guys are actually getting a preview of the Maya the Hot Tub song here today because the whole thing comes out April 4th.
Super.
But yeah, so I'm excited about it and have high hopes for it. And it's I'm proud of it. You know, I think people will like it.
You should be. I think Quarter Peep and I are going to see if we can. We've got several tents in our collection here. I think we're going to try and donate a bigger tent to Nikki.
I talked to her when the song came out, and she said, I talked to her when the song came out, and she's like, yeah, I went out and got a bigger tent. But yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and she's good. She, yeah, I, you know, all the people in that song are people that I met, you know, and so that it has a memory. And so, the original song had more people in it. It was like, I can't have a 9-minute song, you know, so I had to cut it down. But,
well, we love what you did with it. That's, that is a truly class song. I absolutely love it. And I love your storytelling. This is, we said, Quarter Peep said before we got started with this tonight, this was going to be fun. We were going to have a good time, and you didn't disappoint, boss.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Quarter Peep, who do we have coming up next?
Guess what? Guess who's coming back? Attaboy!
All right. Yeah, they've got some big news, some good things happening for them as well. This has been an absolute blast. Blues Dad, thank you so much for sharing the stories. Thank you so much for the music that you're writing. This is, it's wonderful.
Hey, I was going to end this out here with a little bit of harmonica, if that's okay.
We'd love it.
There we go. All right, now.
We may have to hang on to that. That might have to be how the show goes out every week from now on.
I like that. I like that. We can work that out.
All right. Blues Dad, thank you one more time for joining us tonight. This has been a lot of fun. All you folks that are out there listening, we appreciate the likes. We appreciate the support we're getting. You can catch us on any of the Spotify, any of the other platforms that are out there. And of course, check us out on YouTube. VehicleCitySound.com is the website. You know where to find Blues Dad now, too. If you find more artists that you'd like us to be talking to, more folks like Blues Dad, VehicleCitySound@gmail.com. Drop us a note. We love hearing from you. Blues Dad, thanks again. We really appreciate you being here.
Appreciate it.
Another one in the books. All right, everybody. Be good.